Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Dave.
I'm Liz.
And we're going to do flamenco dancing.
It's Wednesday. You know what that means with Liz here.
It means we're
wearing pink.
We're flamenco.
We're wearing pink and flamenco.
We're pink. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
I'm still wearing my toothpaste shirt.
Dave Palace of welcome back, Dave and Liz. Dave is from 5 Minutes of Mystery and the almost said the Gopher Minute,
the
Groundhog
Minute, the Otter Minute,
the Gopher Minute, well, the Caddyshack Minute. And Liz is from, not from, she is Mean Girls.
She is the Mean Girls Minute.
So we're back on our 4-person team.
Oh, hey, nice. Huh? I approve this message.
All right. One of the three guys approves the message. All right, guys, we're ready to go.
Woo-hoo. Woo! Whoop, whoop. Yeah, boys, we're back in town.
That's going to be your theme song, I think.
Yeah.
On your intro now.
Oh, yeah, do it.
Minute 13. Boys are back in town. This is minute 13, everybody. It's a staring it starts with a staring contest and ends with Naya hiding. Pretty easy. We're still in the middle of a flamenco dance.
Flamenco dance-off.
Dance-off being performed. And we see another spin as Ethan and Naya are locking gazes. And then, whoosh, like Deborah Copperfield, Naya vanishes. Disappears.
Like that. She's gone.
I mean, she pulled a Batman move. That was classic Batman.
Yeah, it was. I mean, yeah, because, you know, he's looking at her and he's like, okay, I know I have to, like, bring her on the mission. But he's like, oh my God, I'm tranced how beautiful she is. And she's probably doing the same thing, but then she goes, wait, he's really looking at me, like, not just in, like, attractive guy looking. Like, she's like, oh, crap, is he Interpol? Is he, you know, is he somebody trying to catch me? He's like, I gotta.
Is he just a creepy dude at a bar?
Yeah, I mean, there are she was earlier accosted by a creepy dude, so the fact that there are probably more creepy dudes at this party. Yeah.
She's like, I'm on a timetable. I don't have time to take out every creepy dude in this bar. I'm going to use this twirling skirt like it's my Batman cape. And when it twirls around me, I'm just going to disappear.
I'd like to see the angle from the floor. And it's just her going down to the floor and then crawling off. It's just her going.
Well, what I love about these first couple shots is how, you know, yesterday's minute, we talked about how they were layered in with the slow motions. Today, not only is it layered in slow motion wise, but it's layered in with a third layer, which is the background layer. So if you watch after the first initial looks they give each other, they're now another element with the, like, this depth of field element so that the background is even in focus. They're in focus and the dancer is focused with this sort of faux split diopter shot that isn't really a diopter shot. So it's really kind of cool. Yeah.
Because if you look at it, it's like second 12, you can see in the foreground, the red dress, that is one layer of film. Yeah. Tom Cruise is the second layer. Then the people behind in the him are third. In focus.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very, very cool. And you know, again, we talked about this the other day, you know, when you're watching it in the moment, it's very emotionally, you know, and very entrancing to watch. But when you watch it minute to minute, you're seeing how they did it. And it's an impressive feat to watch, you know. I mean, it's like a animation, how they did that, you know, the layering technique with animation. But here you're doing it with film, so it's really impressive.
I think in this movie, we're going to find, Dave said, there's lots of ridiculous, stupid things that are going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it is masterfully shot.
Yeah, I agree.
There's nothing in this movie that I'm like, could have looked better.
No.
It's funny because I was actually listening to Liz's minutes on Mogwai Minute, and it's when they're talking about the little Mogwai running down the street like in Gremlins 2. Like we see him full body running, and it looks so bad.
Yeah.
Because it's also in the 90s. Yeah.
Early 90s.
But anytime you put a mat into any movie, you risk getting the lighting wrong. And they did it really well in this movie and in this scene in particular. So good job, especially in darkness.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times in darkness, it's hard to replicate shadows, especially if you're shooting it three different times.
Yeah.
Kudos to everybody, DP, everybody. Just so you guys know, before we get too far into this, there was a scene cut from the movie where Ethan actually talks to Naya before they talk up in the tub later.
Hmm.
Yes. Let me explain this to you. Right at this scene, he actually walks up to her, and they may have shot this. We'll never know. Liz, we talked about this in the first week. This movie's original cut was around 3.5 hours.
God.
So that means there's an hour and a half of people this movie staring no one's at ever each seen. Other? No, we assume it's just slow motion.
Just, I mean, basically. Just people looking at each other across rooms.
What I found is that some of it's Robert Towne's script got thrown on the floor because it should be because it's garbage. And this is some of that garbage. It's not great. It's not book quality. I wish there was a book version of this. I know Dave is bummed. There's no book.
I'm just going to miss the music.
No, you say that the script's trash. Then, honest to God, why was it picked up? Like, why was Cruise really in a rush to get it, you know, the movie?
Yeah,
done?
This movie was rushed, oh. I think. Chris, didn't we talk about that? Or have we talked about that yet? This movie was rushed into production after it had been delayed for so long.
Yeah, because of Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut.
And it ended up running long, and that's why Dougray ended up having to drop out of X-Men, and Hugh Jackman got Wolverine. Exactly.
Yeah,
Thank God.
Magneto, I'm here to stop you. Like, what?
They would have made him do an American accent for Wolverine.
I've never seen Dougray do it even close to an American accent.
But what movie has he, like, what role has he had that's as iconic as Wolverine that he would have to have an American accent for?
Good point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I can't name three movies Dougray Scott's been in.
So. To me, he is in a single episode of Doctor Who, and I'm like, oh, yeah, him.
Here's the scene that was thrown on the floor, and you'll see why. Ethan, do you know me? Naya, no, should I? Ethan, I'm not going to say Ethan and Naya a million times. I'll you just
do voices.
No, you just looked like he did. No, just as if I'd like to. Oh, well, I think that can be arranged. Not tonight. Bad timing. Sorry. There's not enough time in the world for any of it to be bad. Wait, I'm not done. There's more.
But wait, there's more. Look,
it's either you or the rent, and I don't mind telling you, it's not an easy choice. What if I pay the rent? And then Naya looks at him and says, go find a wealthy lady you came with, and next time we meet, I'll pay your rent. Now bugger off.
What the hell is that?
I don't even know what it is. I think she's calling him a whore, a hooker, like a man candy. I don't know what it is.
Meets someone and is like, I don't know you, right? I mean, I just want to clarify. We don't know each other. How about I pay your rent?
If you know what I mean. That's not a normal thing to say to somebody.
Okay. Listen, there's days where I might be like, let's negotiate.
Look, I'll sublet your apartment for a day.
Listen.
You know what I mean?
Let's talk terms here.
It's so weird.
You gotta bring terms to the table, Liz. Liz doesn't need to be wooed. She needs some sort of spreadsheet.
I'm gonna need you to bring a business plan.
Here's my white papers, Mrs. Whitaker. My name is Ethan, and I know kung fu, and I can drive, and I do not have tactical tight hair yet, but I will.
Dear Ethan, if you're calling me Mrs. Whitaker, you might be barking up the wrong tree.
Oh, no.
Tactical error. You got to get that tactical hair in place.
Thank you.
I think I was talking to your mom, actually. I don't know what that was about. Shout out to Miss Whitaker. Hi, Miss Whitaker. Miss Whitaker. Hi, Miss Whitaker. She's liked some of my stuff on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. My mom just wants me to have friends.
Aw, she's adorable. Well, then she'd love you talking to guys like this.
Oh,
that's the best way to make a friend. Walk up to me like, hey, buddy, I'll pay your rent.
My mom would be happy if I found someone to pay my mortgage for me.
Sure, of course. Well, wouldn't we all?
Yeah.
My wife pays my mortgage. It's a lot easier.
I just pay it all.
So, yes, that scene was right before she goes running up the steps.
Yeah, that's an awful scene.
Aren't we glad that's somewhere in a vault? That's in John Woo's vault somewhere.
Are we sure that it was Robert Towne or not his dog that wrote that? Because, you know, Robert Towne is notorious for having had his dog labeled the screenwriter for Greystoke, Legend of Tarzan.
I think my dog would be better at dialogue than that.
I have this strange feeling I would not like to meet Robert Towne. He seems like a boring puss bag. I don't think it would be interesting. He seems awful.
Well, you know, I think Cruise is upgraded big time by going from Robert Towne to McQuarrie.
McHugh. Yeah, well, and Brad Bird and half the guys that he's worked with have all been top-notch compared to, I mean, J.J. Abrams.
Yep.
J.J. Abrams, say what you will about him, you don't look at his dialogue and just go,
No, I agree with that completely.
Robert Towne is literally something from the 70s. It's
and it worked in that time period, you know, when he was doing, you know, things like Chinatown and stuff, you know, that made sense, you know?
What's so funny is that did you say that scene was filmed or is it just written and gotten trashed?
Don't know. It's in the shooting script.
Okay.
And the movie was 3.5 hours. So I have a feeling a lot of this stuff was shot. And because, again, I don't think this is where we start figuring out the how much power Tom Cruise had over John Woo and Robert Towne at this point. Do you think he just said shoot everything and then John was like, I'm not putting this in my movie because it's garbage. Because it's not like snappy. Go. Or do you think they got to set, you know, days before in production or like, this is not good.
What's so funny is this movie kind of really does, and we've already talked about how it doesn't stand in the pantheon of Hunt, like because like Hunt doesn't feel like himself in this movie. He feels weird. No,
he's Sleeth, and we've coined the term Sleethen, sleazy yeah. Eason, sleazy and he's Sleethen, and it's not. It's gross. Like later on, you like him because he's kind of got this boyish charm and he knows everything and he's just capable. In this movie, he's very smarmy.
And also that dialogue, it's very like confrontational where he goes up and the conversation isn't really going anywhere. Like he's not trying to get some information out of her. They're just having this banter that's very, very pointless. Whereas
because in universe, he's just there. He knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
In universe, there's no reason to talk to
him. And even in the freaking movie, later, Sean Ambrose is going to FBI profile how Hunt works. And he says that, like, Hunt's not a confrontational guy. He's going to be about distraction. And he won't show himself until he has all the cards. And then later in the franchise, he's like this guy who... He only takes the risks after he's like analyzed everything. Like he doesn't show his hand until like he's got all the angles covered, and then he plays it risky because that's what makes him a great foil to that bad guy in the fifth one, and the Rogue Nation. So it's just like in this one, it's like, you know, oh, he doesn't do confrontation. Then you're gonna see all the shootouts. He doesn't do confrontation, but he has this weird. Almost Tarantino level of just we're throwing words back at each other and hopefully the edit makes it cooler because
that's the 90s for you right there. I mean, come on, that's everybody wanted to do that in the
everybody
90s,
wanted to, yeah.
Oh yeah, I bet Robert Towne watched Pulp Fiction, was like, I could write dialogue like that, and he wrote this crap.
Yeah,
you're like, no you can't.
It's like my brain just tuned out when you were saying. I was like, I'm trying to study, like I'm trying to imagine her and him having this conversation. I'm like, oh, rent? What? Make sure the lady you're with is. I was like, ugh, like.
Like, there's too much referential to a scene that's not referenced. All I've seen is him walk in.
We don't know how.
Did he come with somebody?
Yeah. We don't know how either of them got to the party. We don't know why this party exists. We don't know why there's all these people at this house. Is it a festival? Is it this guy's just having a party? And also, he has these diamonds. We're going to get to that in a minute. I want to save that the rest of my notes about the safe, but it's just like
they're not diamonds. They're not diamonds.
The pearls. Whatever. We're going to get to that.
They're not pearls.
Like if anything, Ethan Hunt should just walk up and say like, you can't get out the security. It's too tight. This. He already tells her about her own heist.
Dave, like that, in this conversation that got cut, he's not trying to get anything out of her. He's trying to get. Into her.
I guess that's exactly. What angers me more is that the amount of...
I didn't write it. I have a thing to talk about for this minute that might hopefully give Dave's fried brain some time to heal.
Yes.
Because it's not related to any cut dialogue and there's no actual dialogue in this minute to talk about. So I wanted to talk about the pretty, pretty walls. And all of the amazing, like, Moorish architecture in this building. And specifically, the Moroccan tile that is on the stairway wall. And in the next scene in the bathroom that we'll get to see. But it is one of the oldest forms of art. It dates back to like 711 AD when the Moors conquered Spain. And these types of tiles are called Zelliga. And we're going to go on a journey here.
I'm ready. I've got all my flamenco shoes. I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
So it's a unique way of painting ceramic tiles that consists of complex geometrical forms. And people believe that the origin of these tiles comes out of the artistic limitations that Muslims had, because they were not allowed to depict living beings in their art, so they could only use abstract shapes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So these tiles became popular during the 13th century in Morocco and were popularized and were put on walls and fountains and tables and floors. And today, if you could still, like, good Zelliga tiles are still baked, then hand cut and hand painted.
These are your Spanish facts. Spanish facts.
Yeah.
That's a good fact, actually. I like that. Yeah. We don't talk about the sets much in this movie. We haven't really, I mean, last movie, they were so fake that we talked about them all the time. Yeah. In this movie, they're practical. So we're all like, all right, that's the inside interior of a, you know.
This building is beautiful. So
it is beautiful.
Yeah, it's great.
There was, my notes were gloves and Spanish tile. What? So I went on a journey.
Dave, what do you think of the tiles? Dave?
did we lose you?
I think we lost him.
What do we think of the tiles, Dave?
I don't have an opinion on the tiles.
I think the tiles make Dandy look even more yummy.
Ugh.
If anything...
What does it mean, yummy? Stop saying yummy.
Yummy. I'm hungry.
My next note is what I consider the Thomas Crown Affair montage.
Ah.
That's a good way of saying it. That's a very good way of saying it. I was going to talk about it, too. So let's get to that. Let's talk about Thandi running up the steps and going to the door.
With the claps as well.
This, yeah. I believe, hints that she has been to this place before. She has studied the length of the song, and she knows. She's probably bought the exact same shoes as the flamenco dancers to mask. I mean, her move is really... She knows the security guards are attracted to some women, and they misplace their duties of guarding stairs. So she knows, okay, I need to walk with a crowd of women and wait for their eyes to catch. Second, I need to make it up these stairs quickly, and I need to have the sound master, the guy doesn't turn around and hear my heels. So time with the flamenco.
Because they're all made of marble, so they're going to hear somebody walking.
He won't hear her heels, though, because she's going to run up on her toes.
I think she means heels, like she's wearing heels.
She's still wearing shoes. I mean, you're right. Even with her toes, though, I mean, it's still a woman smacking on the stairs. I mean, I'm sure she can't take the risk. She's got to time it during. She knows when the song's going. She knows when the loudest parts are. Because I love she takes that break. I do love she takes that break at the window, that she clearly planned that. She goes, okay, that's the first step. Now I have to make it down to the next doorway. And that looks directly at the camera is kind of like, it's this, puts her gloves on with this confidence of she knows. It's almost like, yeah, she's like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. Like, I feel like that's the shot, the look she gives us. It's like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I'm a capable person.
The original shooting script, you're very close. The original shooting script actually had her running to the beat. I think on the set, they were like, that looks stupid. So they just had her kind of, I mean, when she's running up the steps, she's not exactly matching the steps, but she is running at a brisk pace. And then when they stop, she does stop. And it's also with the music, it's actually kind of interesting and it looks cool. It is the Thomas Crown Affair. That's a great way of explaining it. I am so glad that she's wearing gloves.
Yep.
This continues what I think is Mission Impossible is the only spy movies franchise where people wear gloves.
Yeah.
James Bond very rarely puts on gloves to do spy work.
Yo, maybe he's had his fingerprints burned off.
Yeah, does he just not have fingerprints?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, Men in Black style?
When you become James Bond, they just burn your fingerprints off?
No, because he's not secret. Everyone knows who James Bond is, knows he was in the British Royal Navy or whatever.
The only thing I can think of is, yeah, like once you become 00, they take those fingerprints and they lock them off. So anyone who ever does a query, it like it hits a firewall and it says no result found, and it just says, yeah, that.
That's what I was thinking too.
Because they can't, because also it can't say no result found or restricted as of the Queen's service, because then it'll go, oh wait, this leads back to England, and they could trace it back that way. The last time I remember wearing gloves was probably Spectre. He wore it up in the mountains because, you know, yeah, cold. But like, I mean, that movie was, you know, messy to say the least.
Did he wear gloves in Goldfinger?
Goldfinger. Did he wear gloves?
I don't remember.
It's for fashion or weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not wearing skulking gloves.
Maybe in Diamonds Are Forever. Diamonds Are Forever. Maybe. I do remember a few velvet gloves, but it's hard to remember. Like, were the henchmen wearing it? Was the villain?
It's hard to do meticulous work with like, you know, isotoners.
Yeah.
So yeah, and she goes up there and she starts working on the door. It's funny. She opens the door the same way Barnes does from the last movie.
Yeah.
She walks up to it backwards and does the no looky. Which, that's a cool way of doing it. I don't think that can be done in real life. I don't know. I'm sure someone who knows how to pick locks can do that, but it's
an odd locked? Thing.
That, in with gloves.
She's picking a lock?
Yeah, she's picking a lock.
Yeah.
What do you think she was doing?
Waiting for the right moment to open the door?
That's what it looks like.
Oh. Well,
it doesn't look like she's doing much back there, except for I would have shown her picking the lock if she was.
No, you know why? I think it's around second, like 52, 53. She has this look of elation, like, yes, I did it. That's why I think she picked the lock.
You think she didn't? I mean, I can hear both sides.
Yeah. I think she's just elated that she got there. All right.
She's like, yeah, my plan is working.
Yeah, she could definitely be doing that, because I mean, she has that little bag of things we'll get to.
Yeah, because she doesn't open any of that stuff up until the next minute. I think
you may be right. You may be right. I may have always inferred that she is locking the pick.
Locking the pick.
You know, if it's like to his bathroom, you know, this guy's bathroom. Later, we'll find out that why would she unlock it?
It would be weird to lock the bathroom.
That seems inconvenient.
At a party.
That
party,
seems like it could get problematic real fast.
I mean, I don't see.
With Spanish
this,
food.
I see this is. I wouldn't say this is a bathroom. This is like a penthouse, or if anything.
There's a bathtub.
There's a bathtub.
Yeah, but there's also a champagne bottle and a mirror. Like, I think this is a.
It's a fancy bathtub. Yeah,
that's where he does it. That's where he does his romancing, man.
It's where the magic happens.
It is.
Second 58. Is that like a security camera? Like, what is that dome on the wall on the archway? Do you know what that is?
Dome 58. On the
50,
archway.
58, right at the end, right as she gets into the archway. On the right side.
I see what you're talking about. I'm just having a hard time.
Thermostat?
It's a thermostat,
it's
I think.
It's a thermostat. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it's probably makes sense. Thermostat.
Yeah.
Or it's like one of those, it makes the jets on the, not the jet, on the bubble tub.
The bubble tub happen.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, it could be that too, yeah.
I don't know.
It might just be decorative.
Oh, the nubbin,
big nubbin.
It's you know, famous Spanish revival wall nubbin.
all the candelabras and the veil and the thing and no, and we need a nubbin. We need a nubbin.
And the wall nubbins, yep. Exactly.
Let's see, wall nubbin.
I don't know that you want to Google that.
Yeah. Wednesday wall nubbins.
On Wednesdays we wall nubbin.
Exactly. On Wednesdays we wall nubbin. I like that one. That's.
Well, now that we're in the bathroom, why don't we go to the tech of the app?
That's a perfect place
to see what comes out. We're in tech of the app. We've lit some candles. It's quite nice in here, in the tech of the app room.
It's very nice.
Very nice. Chris, tech of the app for this one. This is a hard one, but it is a hard one. What you got?
Besides the wall nubbin, I'm going to go again with the opening bit where we do that three layered shot, you know, cause that's again, as a film person and as an editor, I think it's really impressive. And the false, split diopter shot, since we're, you know, that was our big thing in the last season. You know,
I'm going to call that the Marty McFly effect.
The Marty McFly effect.
That's like the effect when he has the hand in front of him and it starts to
disappear.
That's exactly, it's the same effect, just done better.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Much better. But yeah, I agree. That's my thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Liz?
I think I'd go with my tile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's good. You seem to really enjoy that note.
Yeah.
What's it called again? Spell
Zelliga?
It.
It's Z-E-L-L-I-G-E. And yes, I did find a YouTube video of it being pronounced.
Okay. If you want to go pick up your Zelliga tiles, please do, from Home Depot. Use the code MINUTEIMPOSSIBLE. That won't do anything, but let's see what happens.
Just give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
Can't hurt.
Maybe they'll give you 10% off. Dave, what about you?
I'm going to say the earpiece in the really bad guard's ear in second 21. The tunnel will probably be at his post, and the whole time he's just looking at the ladies walking by.
Yeah, that's where they got all of their Spanish extras, all of them in a row. They're just like, all right, this is all we got, so let's put them here. You guys are now foreground actors. Come on. Come on.
Yep.
And I'm going to choose... I don't remember what I chose last time. Yeah. So. You know what? I was going to choose the gloves.
I was, too.
Just because...
Yeah.
They're just gloves. It's nice to see them. And they're the cool black ones.
They're like lacy, right?
Are they? I can't tell from here, but if you say they are, I will believe
you. They seemed lacy when she was putting them on. Hang on.
Let me look again. Oh, you think they're like the little clutch gloves that go... Oh, yeah. They have a little laciness to their... like a fringe around...
Yeah, they do.
Oh, how cute. Perfect. So they do go with the dress.
Yeah, I like that her spy gloves coordinate with her dress. I'm into it. Into that.
Spy gloves. Oh, I'm so excited about spy gloves. Yay. Yay. Well, that's a great place to end then. This was great. I know Dave got hot under the collar about some... some deleted scenes. That's why we love you, Dave. Your passion.
I think it just bugs me. It just they don't know.
Had to
they
bring
don't...
it up again.
Oh, I know. I tripped.
They just don't know. They just like, it's just like yeah, like, it's like Tom Cruise. He's got all this production quality. He doesn't even know what his own character is. That's what bugs me. I think.
I don't think he knew at this point what his own character was. Mm. I think it took this movie for him to say, "This is not my character."
Yeah.
And so by the third, he's like, "This is my character, and I need it to be this guy." Because from three on, it's the same, basically. Mm-hmm. So I think it took him finding out. He was also, I mean, at this point, he'd done a movie and he's in the high, we were talking about this, he's at the height of his career in the late 90s. And this movie was like, it made a ton of money. It was very popular.
It was the biggest Mission Impossible until last year.
Yep. Yeah. This was not, but it still was not like, universally loved. And I think he understood that once people were like, yeah, it's okay, but it's not like what I thought it would be. And I think he is smart enough to know to pivot, and he pivoted and he did a good job in the next
one. Maybe it was something with like Eyes Wide Shut where he's kind of like he's working with, you know, like, oh wow, he's working with Kubrick. That's Kubrick, right?
Okay, I'm going to shoot you. That's what I'm going to do.
And,
seriously.
Well, I'm thinking maybe he worked with him for so long. And, you know, then he comes into this movie next. And he's still in a bubble of what's, you know, maybe he's in a slight autopilot.
Yeah, because he's kind of thinking the director's got it handled. And I don't really need to worry about this. And I'm sure John Woo at that time. Also, the language barrier with John Woo. I wonder sometimes about how much John Woo, because what I learned about some of the action scenes in this entire movie is John Woo came to the producers and like, I want to do this. And they're like, let's just write around it.
Oh, you're right. All the action scenes were already placed in place before the script was done.
And that can change your tone, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're like, how do we get to this? I don't know.
Yeah. And you know, Woo's notorious for that because, like, he, I think I may have mentioned it before. I'm not sure that, you know, he took the boat chase from that was supposed to be in Hard Target and put it as the ending of Face Off. And I think there's something for Face Off that ended up in this as one of the action scenes as well. So, you know, that's what he does.
Yeah, I think he comes up with these tent pole action scenes and then plops them into movies. Regardless of the movie,
that's true. I don't even remember how they got to the boat in Face Off. You're right.
Remember they were at like that wedding place, or
they
like
were at the funeral at the end, and it was near the
funeral
near that's the seashore.
Where you normally
pier,
find boats?
The pier.
Yeah.
At a funeral.
You're right. The Hard Target, obviously. Man, like I said, if anything, it's gotta be the motorcycles. I feel like motorcycles was probably something to Face Off because.
Oh yeah.
Like this just seems like runoff ideas from Face Off. That's what the whole
Amber this is literally like the sequel to Face Off that they never did, you know. That's the whole movie is like that.
Yeah. Too. At least the set. It's definitely, yeah, the last like half hour of this film is definitely the sequel that never happened. Yeah.
Well, we'll come back tomorrow and we'll discuss more of the sequel that never happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to move on to minute 14 tomorrow. I got more. We're going to be back into, we're going to get in the tub.
Get
some tubs. We're going to have some, we got tub time tomorrow, guys. Tub time. So Liz and Dave are going to join us again. Thank you again for joining us. Make sure you're listening to Dave and Liz, Mean Girls Minute and Groundhog Minute and 5 minutes of ministry. Ministry. 5 minutes of, I've done this joke before. 5 minutes of ministry.
Yep.
All right. It's Dave. Mystery. Dave's not it's having
five
it.
5 minutes of mystery.
It's mystery. You're saying it wrong.
Don't correct me. It sickens me.
So until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Dave.
I've been Liz.
This mission will self-destruct in 5, 4, 3, 2.
See you next time on the show. It's done. It was so fun. Thanks for listening to Impossible. 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 Impossible.